on primefmradio.dj, your new English language show, Radio Globe Budapest. Today, we have a very interesting character in our studio, and he's going to tell us about different people from all over the world coming to Magyarország to visit. Mr. Gashko Gábor.
Good morning, Gábor. Good morning, Jay, and good morning to everyone at primefmradio.dj.
Before we start, I'd like to know what, as a kid in your youth, got you so interested, gave you the bug to be so involved in travel?
Actually, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a vet, and it came back from my mom. The story came back from my mom, I can't remember, but she said that when I was 3 or 4 years old, I wanted to be a vet. And I think because I love languages and I love talk to people, and I do love being lazy in a way, that was the most simple thing, to become a tour guide. So in the secondary school, I wasn't so good in math, but I learned Latin and Russian and English and German. And already at that time, I was a character also on the stage in the so kind of different optional programs in the school. So I took an exam at the Academy of Theater and Film and Movie Academy, but actually and luckily I failed. So then I became a tour guide, and when I was a tour guide for a year and a half, I realized how important for me to show for those people who are coming to Hungary how beautiful Hungary is.
Where then, when you began your career, did people come from, and how has that changed, if it has? Where are people coming from now?
When I began my career, it was 25 years ago, so it was like a quarter of a century or something like this. At that time, more people came from overseas. I can talk only about those people who were English speaking, because at that time I didn't do guiding in Russian or German or in Thai. We had more organized groups. We didn't have low-cost airlines. We had the national carrier, which was flying from New York, for example. We had a direct flight from New York. And then a more organized group came via Vienna. So mostly these people, they wanted to see whole Europe, and they did tours in Europe. I'm talking about overseas people. And then we had Scandinavian people who could speak rather good English. So if you didn't have a tour guide who could speak fluent Norwegian or any other Scandinavian tone or Scandinavian language, they used me. So the big difference, I think, and the big difference in the trend is that more people came through travel agencies at that time, and more people came in groups with the same interest, with the same budget. And I think it was fun also for the tour guides, because you had more job. And you could have for a longer time, you could have for 7-8 days, you could have a group here in Hungary. So you had the opportunity to get to know the people, and they knew you after 7 days. So this is how the friendship started. And that was actually a bridge which connects people.
Does the higher level of language ability necessarily make for a better relationship? You know, because there's nuance, there's physical relation, you know, there's nonverbal, that's what I meant, nonverbal.
I have my own travel agencies, and I work for other travel agencies since 1991. And I always had, mostly with incentive groups, and with incentive groups, it's very important that people have to have a good language skills. Uh-huh. Good, somehow they have to have a good, not only verbal knowledge, but a good lexical knowledge, that they should know what they speak about. For me, the most important thing that I have to know, how would they deal with my people? So I don't care about what kind of exam they have. not even from, even if they don't have an exam from, and I hope they don't listen to this, if they don't have an exam from tour guiding, but I know that he has been guiding and he has experience. And if he doesn't have the highest level of German speaking knowledge of the word, and he hasn't been a teacher in a Goethe Institute or whatever, but if he's good with the clients, I mean, if he knows, if he's polite, if he knows the job, if he knows when to listen, when to shut up, when to speak, if he's sitting together with the bus driver when we are on the venue, and he's going around, talk to the people, ask them how they feel, and they should report to me, oh, Gabor, this is a little bit problematic, this guest, so I shouldn't discover myself. This is why I have my tour guide people. So answer your question, I think it's important, but not the most important.
What makes your program, your concept of tourism service special?
As I mentioned, when I used to work for Malév Hungarian Airline, and after I became a sales rep at the incentive department, I was trained as an incentive guy. Incentive tourism means that instead of money as a benefit, the company sending the people for traveling, for they are giving them trips, and they are giving them adventures, and then they are giving them dreams, which cannot be reached over money. They cannot be bought. They cannot be.
It's an experience.
It's an experience, adventure. Even I tell you, this was this kind of traveling, this kind of travel business was founded by Ford, Henry Ford, and Henry Ford when he came with the T model. Instead of giving the people money like $30 or something like this, he took them to somewhere in the countryside. And it was like the simplest team building at that time. Mm-hmm. Get together, the get together party, having big team models, flags and molinos everywhere. And this is how they started. Then they started to send people overseas with the big cruisers and liners to Europe. So this is how it started from the state. And then mostly today, a little bit, mostly to Hungary, a little bit reduced, I would say, to Asia. It's going much better. There are some laws which, for example, reduced the pharmaceutical incentive groups. Pharmaceutical companies, they have sent people, for example, from Hungary to Asia, and there had been some accident 2 years ago, so now they can't go over the border. They have to stay in Hungary for this kind of incentive trips, and there are many regulations they have to keep. But back to Ford. So this is the and the Malév time. These incentive groups, they came to Hungary from which I started to work with, from Scandinavia, and they asked for ideas, different ideas. So for example, I arranged for some car companies to drive on the Formula One race, which was opened at that Formula One ring, I was the one who arranged to drive Trabis on the Hungaroring. So from that time, everybody did this one, but we were at Malév Airtos team, we were the first one. It was a funny thing. We told them that they will drive the real German car, and they thought that they were going to drive a BMW and everything. And we had 25 Trabis, and there was
explain a little more about the Trabi. Some our listeners are
a Trabi was Trabi was Trabi. I think you can see 3 or 4 Trabis in Hungary or in Budapest.
And
not
tell
more.
Us what it is?
It's a 2-cycle engine East German car. So that was mostly the only car which Hungarian people could buy, and they didn't have to wait another 10 years in the 70s to get a Zsiguli. So the easiest way to get a car, it was to get a Trabi in 3 years, then the Zsiguli, Warburg, which is also an East German car, pretty good one, and then Zsiguli, which is a Lada today, and then, I don't know, maybe Moskvich or things like this. So it's the most common East German car. When the wall between Hungary or the wall between East German country is Germany, and West Germany was knocked down
in a way.
Then the Hungarian border was practically the only way to go to Austria, and this road was full with Trabis, because these East German people, they were coming to Balaton, to the Lake Balaton, with the Trabis. And when the border was open, then all the Trabis gone. But we had some Trabis left in Hungary, so for this group, we offered them the car, the real German car, to drive on the Hungaroring.
That's great.
And I, the only one who couldn't drive the Trabi, it was me, because I didn't know there was a tap, special tap for the fuel or something to open up. So I was driving the Trabi for something like 200 meters. It stopped, and I couldn't go nowhere, so it was a disaster. But then we had real Mercedes cars coming in from two racing cars. We brought them from Germany for that group. So these kind of ideas make these incentive trips unforgettable, and this kind of adventures which they cannot reach any other way, only with the help of the company. And this is the most important thing. The name of the company should be in their mind for 24/7.
What are other special groups? I see you work with students. Are these students who travel here in the summers, or students who are studying here?
Both. Those students who are studying here, they are inviting their friends, and these people are coming with low-cost airlines. This is a kind of new way of traveling, and unfortunately the travel business and the travel companies, they have a big loss in that one.
The
travel agencies, because these people are going directly to the hotels. Nowadays they are doing everything on the web and everything on the net. They are buying their tickets on the net, and they have friends here. So they don't need us for special kind of entertainment or special kind of ideas and book them the Pusta program, because the friends can do it here. Mm-hmm. But I think for the Hungarian economy, it's a very good thing that these low-cost airlines are operating from all over the world now, we can say, even from Dubai and from Baku and from everywhere, and not only from UK. And more and more people are coming, and you can see in the ruined pubs how many foreign language speaking people are there, and also some Hungarians there. And hopefully they are studying together in the university, studying together somewhere in other business schools. And I really admire them, and I'm very, very jealous, because they are so young and they are so vivid, and they are feeling good. And wherever I go, time you cannot bring back.
So you'd rather be their age again and have to go through the last 25 years again?
I do it. I would love to do that, but I tell you frankly, I wouldn't do anything else differently, but I would love to do. And this is a part of... it's a selection of tourism which is out of our hands, out of the travel agency's hands at the moment. But it comes back, because these people are bringing the parents, and the parents, they have different ideas, the parents, they have different needs, they have different things in common. And for these people, you can always organize something, maybe through a radio program, through a TV program, you can always give some advices. And also we have to mention those people like you, expats who are living here not only for 4 years but maybe for a longer period with family, because I think they have different needs than going to the room pubs and
get. So now you're looking at the family-oriented internal tourists.
I think they have different aspects, and I have sometimes when I talk to experts like you, I get ideas which I didn't have in mind. I get some phone numbers. Oh, you should go and see this place somewhere in the countryside. And how did you know about this? And this is good. I mean, you people, you are helping us, and I should be helping you. So it's a vice versa thing. But it's great. If we communicate with each other, it's always the best.
which countries are the tourists coming from around the world to come to visit Hungary, and what is the allure of Hungary? Why are they coming here? There's many reasons. You know, you just give me 50. No.
This year it was Austria, and the Hungarian tourism marketing agency. They put a very big effort, and it worked out very well. Even in Austria, they had a very nice deal that they have chosen ambassador of Hungary, like Austrian people could be the ambassador of Hungary, and it means that they have reached the Austrian and the Germans, because the German people are the second one, from different aspects. If they were born in Hungary and they are living in Austria, or if they are, for example, they have a special interest like religion, like arts, like some kind of incentive tours or congresses. But I would say that this year it was Austria, second Germany, then the Scandinavian countries, the spa guests hopefully coming back from the state. And we have this Nyitáskelet felé, which is opening to the east. So we are promoting Hungary in countries like Oman or Saudi Arabia. Our prime minister today or just yesterday arrived to India, and partly they have a group of business people. One of them is involved in tourism a little bit and education. So hopefully they will have more speech about Indians visiting Hungary, and some Arabic countries. Like I told you, that Wizz Air is flying now direct to Dubai. I think it's one of the reasons that they want to bring not only single people, single travelers, but families, because during the summertime in Dubai and Abu Dhabi and the United Arab Emirates, the air is so hot and the temperature is so high that they should bring over the people, and living here in small castles on apartments and spa guests. Also the hunting people should be brought back also from these Arabic countries. So it's a lot of work to do for the marketing agency. I can't talk about this on their behalf, but I'm quite, I know a little bit about their work, and I think they are doing pretty well.
I've taken a tour of the museum by Hörsökter, and I saw the Monet exhibit and some of the French impressionists. This is 6, 7, 8 years ago. And the tour guide, a young woman, was so enthusiastic and so passionate about these paintings and this museum, I couldn't help but cry. Not blah, 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 but tears came to my eyes. And I had another, I was teaching public speaking in a Hungarian college. And if the student in my class was a professional who used their presentation skills in their work, then we go to their work and they do their final exam. So she was a tour guide at the opera house.
Oh, they have the guided tour in the opera house.
Yeah, and my goodness. And you could almost hear her sadness when, this is a reconstruction of the original. But again, I couldn't help but have a few tears in my eyes. So you speak here. I know I could have you for another 2 hours talking. I'm going to have just a few more questions and let you go. But you talked earlier of your tour guides, the people who work for you and take care of the service and the relations with your tourists. How do you find that special, that passion, that specialness? You said you don't need a diploma, you don't need a degree. Just what are those traits that you're looking for?
I was talking about myself. So officially, you need a diploma, you need the language classes and exams.
But what makes you that passionate? Yeah, after you have all that,
the passionate. Well, if you meet him first, then you have to ask him or her, then you have to, and nobody nobody has advised him or, you know, suggested him. So there was nobody behind the circle. Then the best way, if you ask her if she's making a sightseeing with someone, a city sightseeing, and just ask her if I can join the bus, or, and then you see. Mm-hmm. But you can see when she's coming to the room. I mean, how she acts and how she talks, the way she talks. Some of the people, they are frank enough to tell you which they can do and they love to do, and which they don't love to do and which they can't. So I had one of my best tour guides. She was an old lady in German, Zolai Sharinini. And she was I loved her. She was the one who sat with the group in the pusta. I mean, she didn't let the people just moving around. She sat with them. Although she was the only one, when I had 550 people in 1991 from Rank Xerox, and I made the Opera Paradox, and we were the one who founded the Opera House guided tour for these people at that time already. And she was the only one who told me, I said, Gabor, I would love to do the museum tour. I mean, how is this it? I mean, she was so active, aggressive, all the way. She was my head tour guide. If you have a big group and you have 10, 11 tour guide, you have to have a jolly joker. And you're only talking to the jolly joker. You don't talk to everyone when the group is here. Because if they see that you are angry, they immediately realize, the people, that, oh, you haven't made your homework. So you talk to your jolly joker, and she is the one who is, you know, she is the one who is the black sheep or the white sheep. And she was the one who told the people, okay, you have to be here at 6 o'clock, ta da da ta. And in the same time, she was the only one who came to me and, oh, if nobody does the museum tour, I would love to. I love museum. So it was just like a, you know, just like a, I call it antagonistic, that she is the one who is my right hand, and she's the one with the whistle, wak, wak, wak. On the other hand,
with a hammer.
And she had a whistle. And
with the whistle.
And then she, for example, she loved to do these museums. And I haven't known nothing about this kind of ability she had before. And then all the time when I had a group like this, I asked her, would you do the museum tour? And this museum tour, it's like 7 museums, not only one. And I joined her group once, and she was lovely. Not only about the building, but, you know, about everything. Hopefully she's still alive. She was at that time already 70 something, but she was more active than I was at that time, 25. I could hardly follow her steps. So practically, if you know the people and you have this ability that, you know, who is good, who is bad, and then you can somehow judge, but you can't judge the book by the cover, so you have to try them. And the best way to try it, to join them for 2 hours, and if she's better than you, take it. But it's very, very important that she has to be good with the people. She has to be patient. She has to be focused on the same time. She has to be, you know, she has to keep the timing, the itinerary. So a tour guide has to be like a core, like, you know, the worker and the co-worker sometime. But everybody has to do, I always tell to my friends, we are not all-round sportsmen. I don't like somebody's, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. You're not Michael Jordan, come on. You're not an all-round sportsman. You have to, if you do this and you are good in this one, do that one. Somebody is doing with lexical background, extremely good. Okay, let him do the museum part or whatever. But don't give him the horse show in the pusta. If she's 70 years old and she has to jump on the horse and do this, because she can't do that one.
You keep your eyes open. You know, you have to know what's going on. You speak multi-languages. You have to know the trends so you can adapt your business to stay in business. It's a tough market out there now for everybody, and for young people also coming out of their university days. Give us some advice of how you managed for 25 years when the changes in the tourism business have been amazing, with the change from pre-1989 life to post-89, Malev being a major carrier to being bust to having Ryanair, Wizz Air. What's your advice to the market, to people in business and young people coming into business? How to be flexible and to be successful and survive in business?
Beside the travel agency, they should open up a rune pub somewhere in Budapest to have the background to spend the money on the travel agency. But I'm just kidding, but I'm not kidding. So I think the future is the online travel agencies. So you have to be a good IT man with at least two language speaking skills with open eyes, and that's enough. And you don't have to have a fancy office in this case, but you have good slogans, which slogans or, you know, words are coming out from your mouth wherever you are. And you have to know marketing better than I do, and that you have to know IT business better than I do. But I think the new generation, they know exactly what they do, because or they go to work in a hotel industry, for example, and the hotel industry is still B2B, or it's a B2B business, for example.
B2B?
Business to business.
So there's a lot of...
because mostly now, those people, those travel agencies who are coming to Hungary, they don't use travel agencies too much. They do it themselves. So they go to the bus company, they go to the hotel, they go here. They don't need Gaskó Gábor anymore.
And people like to do it themselves. There's always somebody in the family. Oh no, I'll take care of all this.
If we are talking about big... If you are talking about individuals, like FITs, of course they are doing it. If you are talking about travel agencies, they are the same. Like travel agencies abroad, or now we have online travel agencies, and they are doing direct sales in MLM system, for example. That's the new stuff. So I'm buying coupons, and on the coupons I'm buying tours, but because of the mother company has contracts with so many suppliers, I can buy a room in Budapest on a cheaper rate, which is even the owner of the hotel would dream, or not dream, but would think about, because this goes through another booking system, and the booking system is selling the rooms of that hotel on that rate. And I can use that booking system because I'm a member of this association or something. So I can go to the Hotel Intercontinental and tell them, oh, this is my voucher. Oh, how much did you pay? 79 euros. 79 euros, there is no price on 79 euros. But somebody had a price in New Zealand or in Africa with a special booking system. And this special booking system guaranteed is 79 euros. So you just simply go on the net, you find a way, and you get a cheaper rate. And money is money. Although, I hope that incentive tools are coming back, where they need your creative mind and your dreaming abilities and this kind of things. And also congresses will come back, because for congresses you need people to work with.
We spoke about where people come from and where they go to visit in Hungary. What are the things that people identify that's Hungarian and they want when they come here?
Attractions in Hungary, which are, for example, coming out by the Hungarian inland ideas or inland marketing. They are offering places from Gements to, I don't know, Zalakaros to Hörgyész, you know, different part of the country, which I've never heard about. They have a beautiful guest house here. They have a museum of not only doll museum, but something like attractions with living people. So something which is good. So if people would come, and this is why I talked to marketing people that I wanted to have a radio program in a state radio, just to tell the people what to do, not only during the weekend, but only for my colleagues who are bringing foreigners to Hungary, that they should know where to bring, because we are doing always the same. Danube Band, Visegrad. Why don't we go to Nagymaros, to the other side? Why don't we come back on a different way? Maybe they don't have time. Maybe it's lack of budget, but we never checked. So you should do a brainstorming within your company, within your brain, and it helps your job and it helps the judging the Hungarian hospitality by foreigners.
So I want to ask you to promise us you're going to come visit us again and keep us up with the news of the trends in tourism. So
thank
I appreciate
you very
it very much. That was Gábor Gaśko, our guest, the professional career tourism professional, and I'm Jay Miller. Here we are at primefmradio.dj with your first English language web radio show, Radio Globe Budapest. Will be brought to you from the Buda Hills from Monday through Friday at 10 a.m.